Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Two guys and a gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of summer.
That's right.
But I was asking you if it's official or unofficial that this Monday is
September 2nd, yeah. Labor Day.
Labor Day.
And Labor Day ends summer. Yeah, unofficially.
The only place in the world where Labor Day is celebrated on this day.
Yeah.
Everywhere else is St. Joseph. Yeah. The other question I have for you, this summer you've been studying.
Yeah, I was back in Washington for Canon Law Studies in June and July, and I've just gotten back now for a couple of weeks. It's my last summer having to do that, but worked on my thesis and had some classes, but I have to go back in this winter to take my comprehensive exam. So I'm going to go for a few weeks to prepare for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be done with the degree by the end of the year.
When are you doing comms?
Hopefully December 14th. They're allowing me and someone else to do it on a special schedule rather than, I think, summer, that we could do it at the end of the winter semester.
So comms is this generic exam that students of canon law get at the end. I suppose that they do this in other studies also, but you have to know everything.
Right.
And it's a fantastic, I loved it. It's a dialogue with three professors, but it was one of the most nerve-wracking times of my life. And I will explain that. Graduation was 1 week. Comms was only a week before. And my parents had decided to come to my graduation in Washington.
Mm.
But this is what I thought. If I don't pass the exam, I will have my parents here to celebrate nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I couldn't sleep at night thinking about this. Imagine your parents coming from Spain.
Yeah.
They've never been at a graduation, and we would be sitting in the back while my classmates. That was one of my nightmares.
Right.
It went well. It was a nice exam. People were very nice to me. So.
Yeah. I think I'm looking forward to it. I also like that because it's just, that's what you need to know at all in life. Mm. So here's a really good test for that with this material.
The reason you may pass, and I hope you do, is because you over-prepare. I was over-prepared. They tell you to study, and it's just an opportunity to show the questions are not that difficult, but I hope you have a good... I enjoyed it. I had a good experience.
Yeah.
I was exhausted by the end. I think it was 45 minutes, and at the end, the last question I said, did I pass already? Yes, so that's fine. I don't need to answer that one in a very Ricardo fashion.
Right. So I'll read the gospel here. Where am I going to read from?
You're going to be reading from Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then we jump to 7 to 14.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers, or your relatives, or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So the missing verses.
Before the dining, there is a man with dropsy in that group, and Jesus heals that person, and it's the Sabbath, and people are very critical. You can tell there is some tension in the room. But we jump this, and we go to a gospel that I think we can admit that it's about humility.
It is. It's about humility, but also, I just want to sort of warn us, in a sense, over the next 5 weeks, and I looked ahead because I was curious about this pattern here, but until about September 29th, that Sunday, all of the Gospels here from Luke's Gospel, and it's this emphasis of Luke in presenting the words of Jesus as we speak both about humility, but also about money. It's going to be about rich and poor, and Jesus is going to speak a lot about that over the next number of weeks, and he starts it here.
I see a series coming.
Well,
maybe you would for the first time do a series.
Actually, Jesus has a series here, and this would be a good time where a priest could do that, because I kind of want to do a series, but when I have two parishes, it's hard to do that.
I have an idea for you.
Yeah. Yes. Tell me how to make this work.
You have an associate.
I do, a very good one.
Why don't you try during this month of September, you preach at all the masses you can. Can you preach at all the masses?
Not at both parishes,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's the issue. The masses are at the same time.
Could you and your associate agree on a homily?
Well, we could do that. Yeah.
That's another solution. We are recording this way in advance. We wouldn't be deciding a series 3 days before a series begins.
Right.
But what would the title be?
I don't know. Because this is a hard topic. This is why I say I'm going to warn you if you're coming to Mass. It's a tough topic for some people to grasp. Jesus speaking about money. Guess what? Jesus would be an unpopular pastor to many parishes. We've said this, but Jesus talks about money a lot.
One of the questions I always had, would Jesus be able to be a pastor of a church if it was a man of truth? How many times we say the tenth of a truth and we get in trouble?
At almost no point, maybe it's just not the genre of the Gospels, but at no point do you hear Jesus really complimented by anyone. You know, Jesus, I really liked what you said there.
Well, some people, yeah. Well.
Maybe, and you know, maybe that's just not recorded, but he really challenges. And that's why I say it's going to start now here in chapter 14 as we move ahead for these next number of weeks. Jesus is going to speak a lot about humility and money and a relationship to possessions. And there's a real intentionality about that. You can't look past it. I'm going to kind of use your words from a little while ago and that's what this is about. You know, don't pretend it's about something else. Mm-hmm. This is about our possessions and our gifts. And
this first Sunday in this series that we haven't titled yet, it's about humility. The first reading gives us a clue about this, as a reminder that the first reading and the gospel are generally connected. It's from Sirach, and it says, "My child, conduct your affairs with humility."
Yeah.
And humility is one of these misunderstood terms, because I always thought that humility, or people may think that humility is to make sure that you appear like almost silly. You know what I mean? When humility for me is to know your to be aware of your gifts and of what your position should be in life and in your community. So humility has to be truthful. I cannot deny that I have some gifts, one of them diplomacy, as everybody knows. I'm joking. But we have to be very self-aware to then be humble and recognize our place in community. Negative self-speech is not humility. It's actually egocentric. It's the opposite of humility, I think.
What I've come to understand as I get older, that a big part of humility for me is a willingness to change those habits I have, whether it be how I engage with others, how I act in meetings, just things that are kind of imbued to how I feel comfortable operating in that situation, to be willing to change and then to see who else might step forward or what might happen. My point in saying that is what humility means for me is changing as I get older.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just as I get older, too, I've come to appreciate again the reality of loss, just as people start to get a little bit older and parents are starting to age and realities like that. That's been kind of hard to sort of deal with, but it all goes under that umbrella of humility.
There is a lot of discussion on the etymology of the word, and by etymology we mean the real meaning of the origin of the word. Some people say that humility comes from humus, which is the earth. So that's why to be humble would be to be grounded. I think that the priesthood humbles me and I will tell you why. The other day I was walking around my church, and then I realized that maybe that place, even just fixing the campus, not getting into spiritual things, I'm unable to do it by myself. You know what I mean? There is nothing I can do. We don't have a super millionaire donor that would give us everything we need and fix everything. But then you need to realize perfectionism doesn't fit in that idea. You know what I mean? And only looking at the physical plant, at the physical campus of my parish, I realized this is humbling, you know?
There's a phrase in business that's used sometimes, that the perfect can be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
So just, again, walking around and say, hey, this is what would be perfect here if we could do all of this. Yeah. If we are so obsessed with that, we forget about the good that we can do right now, you know, and that's happening at the moment.
One of the lack of humility expressions that I have learned with age, as you say, and I'm a little older than you, people whose work defines them, and they are so attached to their performance that when somebody tells you something you didn't do right, then it's a way of narcissism. And then you are not open to dialogue. You are not open to change. You are not open to listening to suggestions. It's a lack of humility. It's very hardworking people. So and they are very perfectionist. Perfectionism is there, but it's the enemy of humility. Yeah, it's the enemy of really good work.
Right. There's a lot of very powerful lines in here, but when you hold a, this is at the end, rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, blessed will you be because of their inability to repay you. So I know this is going to sound odd, but when I think about that group of individuals, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, that's not hard to be around. Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, they would say, all right, well, yeah, no big deal. I think in the context in which Jesus is speaking, that would be a real challenge. Maybe interpersonally, I think we need to think about when you hold a, so rather when you hold a banquet, or rather as you live your life, rather as you engage with friendships, but replace, you know, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind with those whom it's really hard to be around. Mm-hmm. So whatever that might be in your life, I think about some people, we've talked about this, but I met some people that be really, really, really hard to kind of be in a room with, and for any number of reasons. But guess what? That would humble me, you know, to be in the presence of those people in whatever way is possible. I had someone last year apologize to me about something that had happened a long time ago, and it was so beautiful. It changed my attitude towards a number of things, and just so humbling. But it was a very humbling act on their part as well. But it was a misunderstanding. But I was an unpleasant person to this person, and now we've moved on. But think about especially that. I mean, think about really challenging people to be around. Because guess what? In the banquet in heaven, we're going to be sitting with them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be sitting with them. We've got to train ourselves now.
I do not disagree with that interpretation, but maybe Jesus is also telling us, and maybe it's not exclusive. I mean, you could probably hold both thoughts at the same time. I think Jesus is telling us, don't enter into the marketplace mentality with relationships, that you only give to people who can give you back, that you only are nice to those who can be nice to you. You know, I think it's part of not entering in this market exchange mentality in relationships, which is not against what you said. It's a complementary idea.
Exactly. I think we're saying the same thing. So in a sense, maybe the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind in that society couldn't economically pay you back or contribute. But relationship-wise, there are some for whom they're unable or were unable to exchange in a meaningful relationship for any number of reasons. I think often because some sort of conflict or even personality difference. There are some personality types that I really struggle with, and I need to work on it. And sometimes during Lent, I say I'm going to spend a little bit more time around this person who's just a great person. But personality-wise, communication style just grates on me, and I've got to stop making it about me in those situations.
And give people a chance. Recently, I had a sit down with someone whom I didn't especially like, and one conversation, 45 minutes, and it wasn't about this, but my whole idea about that person changed.
Wait a minute. We just met for 45 minutes. Was this me?
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. I've always had a good opinion of you, actually.
All right. So how about we come back next week and we'll continue in Luke's
Gospel.
We'll
do that. And maybe we'll have a title for our series this
month. We'll
work
on it.
Very
good. Take care.
See you there.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.